Shall we turn in the Word of God to Ephesians and chapter 5? Ephesians and chapter 5. And this sermon is entitled Being Connected. Being Connected. And most of you who have been here for the last few weeks will know that we will be teaching this morning on being connected to Christ, being connected to each other, and church membership. Now, let me say right at the outset that some of you know that you are members of this church. You formally applied, you've been welcomed into this church, and we're glad that you are members of the Cordia New Life Church. First of all, that you're members of Christ's body, with Christ the head. Others of you perhaps are not aware of membership. We've not talked about it very much recently, and the privileges as well as the responsibilities of being connected. As elders, we believe it is biblical. And we thank God for how over the last few months he's been showing us and sharing with us some scriptures, etc., so that as elders we are united on the importance of being connected, of belonging to a particular church, a family of God. So we're going to read from Ephesians as an opening, chapter 5. And starting at verse 15 to the end, Ephesians 5 and verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. That is the word of God, and we thank him for it. So being connected, the conviction that I have is this, that Jesus loves his church. Jesus loves his church. I'm absolutely convinced, without a shadow of doubt, that Christ loves his church. The church is, in fact, what the Bible says, the people of God, the people, as we sung in one of our songs, the people who belong to him, who have been called out of this world, who've confessed their sins. They realize they're weak, they're helpless, they're naked before a holy God, and see the provision that God has made through sending his Son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice. saying, "He took my sin upon himself." And all who are redeemed, all who have the Holy Spirit within them, belong to the universal church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5 verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Christ loves the church and gave himself for it. And we do say that Christ died for my sins. Of course, he has died for you and for me as individuals. He died for me. Yes, he did. But this verse is saying that Christ died, that Christ sacrificed himself. He gave himself for the church. The church. That is how important Christ considers his church. Jesus loves his church. Hallelujah. Do you feel love this morning? The Word of God says this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay our lives down for our brothers. Christ laid down his life for us. So let's ask the question, who is the us? Us is his church. Us is his people. Hallelujah. The church is us. If you're a believer, if you're seeking to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're part of the church. And Christ is the head of the church. In Ephesians 1 and verse 22, we read this. "And Christ put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church." To the church. Hallelujah. Now let me say this. Christians that say, "I love Christ, but I don't need to be involved in the church, I don't need the fellowship," are very immature. Are very immature. They just don't get it. I am aware that in some pockets of this country, particularly in the far west, and in parts of the world, it is very, very difficult to find a Bible-believing, spirit-filled church. A church that has not compromised and gone the way of the world or gone the way of popularity. I know in certain parts it is difficult. But in this area, we have no excuse. We have no excuse. So I say again, those who refuse to get involved in the church are immature and I would suggest disobedient. They don't get it. Since we're going to live forever, we need to get along now. It is not enough just to love God. We must love the church too. We must love what Christ loves. Christ loves the church. And we must love what he loves. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 23 to 25, we read this. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Let me also say at this stage, friends, there are no insignificant members of the Church of Jesus Christ. I repeat it, there are no insignificant members in the church. Let me tell you Personally, I want to be and remain a part of Christ. I want to be connected to Him. He is the head. I don't want to walk away from Him. And being connected to Him, I'm connected to brothers and sisters in a local fellowship, His body. I want to be where Christ is. I want to be involved in what He is involved in. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Jesus says, I will build my church. The gates of Hades will not win. And you see from that verse, which is taken from Matthew, I understand that Jesus Christ is actively involved in building and strengthening His church. He is bringing them in. He is building them up. He is training them up. He is sending them out. Hallelujah. What is the church? For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. The church is God's people. The church is God's redeemed people. And that is us. That we are part of the universal church, and we are a local fellowship of His people. And I am convinced He loves us. He loves us. The Church of Jesus Christ is unique because of its foundation. We are founded in Christ. Christ is the foundation stone, as we see recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, for example. The Word of God says, for no other foundation can man lay that than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Let us go back to Ephesians and read chapter 2 and verses 19 to 22. Ephesians 2 and verse 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Hallelujah! He's talking about the church. Even in eternity past, and when this was written, and God had in mind you and the Crawley New Life Church, hallelujah, I am convinced He loves us. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Another New Testament scripture is 1 Peter and chapter 2, verses 4 to 5. Coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are living stones. You're being built up into a spiritual house. We're coming together. Hallelujah. I'm convinced Christ loves His church. Do you love His church? Can we have the first verse of that hymn on, please? Thank you. The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is His new creation by water and the Word. From heaven He came and sought her to be His holy bride. With His own blood He bought her, and it again. These are powerful words. The So what are some of the benefits of being connected? What are some of the benefits of church membership to you and myself as Christians, but also what are the benefits as the church? Firstly, it commits you. It commits you. It's good to commit yourself to love and to serve others. And you will grow as a Christian as you commit to encourage, as you commit to build up, to strengthen, to serve, to rebuke and pray for other Christians. They're part of your family. You quickly lose interest in the church if you have nothing invested. You quickly lose interest in the church if you have nothing invested and you'll just find things to moan about, things to criticise. But if you've invested in the family of God as a part of the bride of Christ, you won't lose interest. You'll want its well-being. You'll want it to succeed. Hallelujah. Let me also say, friends, don't stay away from church because you consider there are hypocrites there. There's always room for one more. Secondly, others are committed to you. Others are committed to you. Becoming a member of a church means joining with a group of Christians who agree to watch over you spiritually. If you're a member of a church, you have a church which is full of people who are publicly committed to loving you, to serving you, and to watching over you. That's precious. It's precious to Jesus. Thirdly, benefit of church membership to you and to the church, you have elder protection. Elder protection. If you're a member of a church, the pastor and church elders should care for you. They should pray for you. They should teach you. They should encourage you, personally counsel you, or arrange for it. As a member of Christ Church, they are accountable to God for how they lead you. Fourthly, doctrine. Membership assumes that you agree with the teaching, the doctrine of the church. You share its values and vision, believing them to be biblical and Holy Spirit led. Now let's go back to the first one. It commits you. John Wesley said this, there is nothing more unchristian than a solitary Christian. I would also add that an avoidable absence from public worship is a sure sign of spiritual decay. An avoidable absence when the church comes together is a sign that you're spiritually decaying. Notice I said avoidable. No church is perfect and this church isn't because you've got an imperfect pastor. But there's no way it can be improved by the absence of those who consider themselves to be spiritually minded. Jesus establishes the church to be a public manifestation that would mark out, that would affirm and oversee those who profess to believe in him. Jesus established the church. He established the church to publicly declare to those, to declare that those who belong to him are those he has chosen to declare his praises and to be a witness to the world. To display the good news about himself. Hallelujah. Jesus wants the world to know who belongs to him and who doesn't. And how is the world, how is the community to know who belongs to him and who doesn't? Well, they will see the people who publicly identify themselves with his people in the visible public church, which he has established for this purpose. Jesus intends for his people to be marked out as a visible public group, which surely means joining together in local churches. Being connected is like becoming a member rather than a visitor. A person who says he believes in God but seldom goes to church is like a person who says they believe in education but they don't go to school. In fact, it's worse. So it commits you. Secondly, others are committed to you. The scripture says we are to love one another. We are to bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The Bible commands believers to be of one mind, of one accord, to love, to be kind, to serve, to submit, to encourage, to pray for one another. How can we do the one anothering bit if we don't know who belongs? It is one thing to attend a church, but another thing to be committed to a local church of believers. It is difficult to obey the being unified and the one another scriptures when we are not committed to one another. And we believe that church membership gives people a formal way of saying that I'm committed to this local church, this body of believers, and the vision that God is giving to the local church. Let us turn to Philippians, the book of Philippians, and chapter 2. Verse 1, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let us each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. If you're connected, we can do this. If we're unconnected, you can't. We can't. Another scripture is Acts, there's many, but Acts chapter 20. This we have where the Apostle Paul was sending his farewell greetings to the church at Ephesus. Church, most of these letters are written to churches. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it says this. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all of the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. The church which he has purchased with his own blood. Just for some of those, just a few scriptures which we've looked at, and There's many more that we could do so, if time permitted, but I would suggest, friends, that much of the Bible cannot be obeyed without belonging to the church. Saying, hey, I'm a member of this. And appreciating those who have charge over you, we're under elder protection, appreciating those who have charge over you is not possible if you're not in some official way under someone. Let's look at that scripture, Hebrews 13, verse 17, which says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls. Obey them that have the rule over you. The true pastor, the true elder, has been chosen by Jesus Christ. They are the gift of Jesus Christ to the church. That's confirmed, for example, in Ephesians 4 and other places. It is the elders of the church who have been given the responsibility to shepherd the flock of God under their pastoral care, to exercise proper spiritual oversight. And because they are human, they sometimes get it wrong. That's why we should love and forgive. Nobody in this church, nobody who belongs to this church should have any fear of coming to me or any of the elders saying, hey, I don't agree with what you said, or please explain this to me. I didn't like what you did. We are not above you in that regard. None of you should have any fear about that at all. I hope you don't. But the elders have been given by the Lord Jesus Christ himself to shepherd and to bring with the other the apostles, the prophets, the teachers and the evangelists, that the church of Jesus Christ is equipped, built up to do the work of ministry. So, as leaders, as elders, it involves ruling the affairs of the church. As his ministers, they rule with Christ. As we submit to their lawful rule, we're actually obeying Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself voluntarily submitted to the Father. The loving wife submits to her husband. Is Christ in any way inferior to the Father? No. Is the wife in any way inferior to the husband? No, not at all. Yet both submit out of obedience. In like manner, we have an obligation to submit to the lawful authority of the church if we're going to be obedient. Do you know, friends, Scripture repeatedly commands Christians submit to their leaders. Some of you have been delivered and set free from authoritarian leaders. Some of you have been spiritually abused by overbearing, lording it over leaders. This is not the heart of Jesus Christ, that you, anyone should have that, be under that yoke of bondage. I pray this will never be so of this fellowship here. I pray that. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5, verses 12 to 13. Verse 12, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. There's some exhortations there. Now, unless we're committed, that verse makes no sense at all. Absolutely no sense. Brother Philip, 2-3 weeks ago, was talking about the liberals and others who cut the bits out of the Bible they don't like, they can't appropriate, it hurts them, it doesn't, you know, so they cut it out. We don't want that. In the end, they're left with just a little bit, God loves you, basically. But we've got to be careful that we don't cut out the bits. Here it clearly says that we're to recognize those who labor among you and are over in the Lord and admonish you. And I would suggest, friends, according to the words of Scripture and the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only way to do that is by publicly committing to members of the flock and saying, in effect, I commit to listening to the teaching. I'm committed to listening and submitting to your leadership. There's no way, I would suggest, to obey the scriptural commands to submit to your leaders if you never actually submit to them by joining the church. Now, please don't hear this as some of you are actively resisting joining the church. I'm not saying that at all, because most of it, we haven't had the teaching on it. So I'm at fault here, so I'm not even suggesting that some of you are, I'm not going to commit. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is, hey, there are privileges and blessings I'm trying to give the teaching, so you'll go home and pray about it. And then you'll come back on Wednesday. And if you want to submit to the elders' questions or comments before Wednesday, please do so. Send an email, phone us up, do whatever, so that we can have time to pray and about it. Hallelujah. And then fourthly was doctrine. Of course, membership assumes that you agree with the doctrine of the church, the statement of faith, you share its values and visions, believing them to be biblical and Holy Spirit-led. And all of us can be involved in that. So as we summarise, church membership is a way of officially identifying oneself with a local body of believers. It's a statement that a Christian is in agreement with the local church and willing to be identified as a representative of it. And of course, practically, church membership is valuable for organisational purposes, a good way of determining who is allowed to have a say on important decisions, who is involved in official church functions and positions. Let me say, church membership is not required of Christians. It's simply a way of saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I believe Crawley New Life Church is a good church, and I willingly subscribe to it as my personal home. Finally, serving ministry. Serving ministry. The activities of public ministry, generally speaking, represent the church. When a person stands in front of the church, leading in worship, playing music, when they're involved in Little Stars, when they're part of the welcome team, door-to-door visiting, serving coffee, conducting Bible studies, teaching in Sunday school, engaged in evangelism, most people will identify that person with the church. Makes sense, doesn't it? Most people will make assumptions about the church based on the knowledge they have of those individuals. Those who represent the church represent Christ. That's why Jesus tells Saul, who was persecuting the Christians, that Saul has been persecuting not the church or Christians, but me. We represent Christ. Secondly, the activities of public ministry, therefore, are a trust, not an entitlement. It would seem at no place in the New Testament does God or Jesus use non-Christians to represent him. God graciously calls out, he graciously calls out to all sinners, but he identifies himself and dwells together with only those who are repentant. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, identification with Christ, there am I, the presence of Christ. Third, Reserving public ministries for members therefore protects the reputation of the church and of Christ. And the elders believe that allowing individuals who have not submitted to the church to be publicly identified with it is to allow unaccountable people to inform onlookers of what Christ is like. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6, we read this. In verse 14, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part is a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell in them, walk among them. I will be their God, they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Fourthly, it also helps the church's outreach to non-Christians. It is the church's holy distinctiveness which is compelling to those non-Christians in whom the Spirit of God is moving. So, as I conclude, and obviously we will develop this on Wednesday, as a pastor and as elders, one of our challenges over recent years is we don't know who we're shepherding. We hope that that will be rectified. Hallelujah. It's such a privilege to belong to the Church of Jesus Christ. I want this church, as you do, to be healthy. I want this church to be thriving, to be growing, to be a place where God is worshipped freely, where we have a heartfelt fellowship with one another, where we can forgive one another, where people are growing in their understanding of the Scriptures, where people are using their spiritual gifts, their God-given abilities to the glory of God, where members are so excited about their relationship with Christ. Hallelujah. Excited, thrilled with their relationship with Christ, that they've been rescued from the pit. They've been washed clean by the blood of Christ. Excited by that, and that they've got an eternal future with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Excited about belonging to a Church of Jesus Christ. So excited that they will invite their neighbours and friends to come to Crawley New Life Church. I really, really don't want to be involved in a big church, but I tell you what I do want. I want to be involved in a good church. So let's make Crawley New Life Church the best church it can possibly be, because we're loving and submitting to one another. We have the power of Christ's Spirit among us. Being connected is biblical, and it's one of the ways that Christ will honour, bless, and grow us as we yield to Him and to His Word. Amen.